Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I have an amazing, amazing episode for you today. I speak with Inner Circle member Stephanie. She's based out of Melbourne, Australia, so super cool accent. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I'm a sucker for accents, but more importantly than her accent, Steph is amazing. She has an incredible, incredible story to tell. And we talk about a lot. So she talks about her weight loss journey, how she finally hit her ultimate goal weight and what it took to achieve that. She was diagnosed with PCOS, so she talks about a little bit of her journey with that. She talks about how she fell in love with powerlifting, about how she's preparing for her first powerlifting meet. We talk about a lot, and the conversation really ramps up throughout the entirety of the podcast. So make sure you listen to the entire episode, because I think as it goes on, you're going to get more and more sucked into it and really invested in what Steph is saying. So please listen to the whole episode. Steph, thank you so much for coming on. To everyone listening, I hope you enjoy it. Let's get into the episode. Steph.
Hi. How are you going?
How are you?
Good. How are you going?
I am doing amazing. I'm super excited to talk with you. Thank you for taking the time to get on with me.
No, thank you for asking.
Are you in Australia?
I am. I'm in Melbourne.
That's amazing. I, as you probably know, I love trying to replicate the accent. So
yes,
the entire podcast, I'm going to try and not mimic everything you say.
It's funny. I was actually thinking the same thing. I have this habit of like mirroring when people speak. So I don't know how many Australians you've spoken to, but if you're in Queensland, they have more of what I would call a bogan accent, and I find myself mirroring like a really thick Australian accent back.
That's
to people from Queensland. My partner's from there.
I do the same. I don't know why. I don't know why. And it actually got me in trouble as a kid. Like I remember if I had a substitute teacher in class and they had like a slightly different accent, for whatever reason, my initial gut response is to try and talk like they talk. And they thought I was trying to like be a class clown or make fun of them. And sometimes I was, but like it's for whatever reason, whenever someone speaks with a different accent, I'm like, all right, I got to try this accent. So, I think the Australian accent is the coolest. It's like among the coolest of the accents. Does it feel like when you speak to me, does it sound like I have an accent? I know this might be a stupid question, but I gotta know. Does it sound weird to you?
It doesn't sound weird, but you've like definitely got a like Boston, New York kind of accent. Like it comes across.
Got it. So the majority of the accents that you hear are Australian. Like, so when you just speak on a day-to-day basis, the normal accent you hear is how you speak, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Got it. So it's just odd to hear someone from another part of the world in general.
Yeah, although I think that American accents are more normalized here because we watch so much American TV, like all of, you know, the TV shows and everything we watch, not all, but a lot.
That makes sense.
All of the big shows, Friends, everything like that.
I think Australian accents became popular in the United States with the Crocodile Hunter guy. Steve Irwin. So it's like anytime I used to do an Australian accent, I'd be like, crikey. but awesome. What time is it there right now, by the way?
It's 8 a.m.
All right. You got on early. I really appreciate you doing that. Thank you. So as you know, I wanted to hop on a call with you. And really, I just want to take a moment to get to know you better. Number one, I want to do this with as many Inner Circle members as I can. But equally important, I want to hear your story. Like, I want to hear about your journey. Because, I mean, like you said in your in one of your recent posts in the Inner Circle group, you hit your goal weight. And and huge congratulations on that. I want to talk to you about your journey, how that happened, like anything you struggled with, things that you found to be helpful. I just want to hear more about you and get to know you better.
Sure. I don't know where to start.
So just how about you start by telling me just about yourself. What do you do for work, family, friends, like your partner? Just give me some background about you that doesn't even have to be fitness related.
Sure. So I live in just outside Melbourne, Australia, up in a little place called Emerald up in the hills with my partner. I'm a graphic designer I've always lived in Melbourne. I grew up here, but most of my family are from South Australia. Yeah, I was big into fitness in school, so I did a lot of athletics and swimming. People from Australia will know what squads is for swimming. That's what I did,
Okay.
and little aths. And then also through school, I did it as well, sort of like at a higher level. And when I left school, it wasn't really an option for me not to study, but I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. So I actually studied fitness when I first left school. And I did work as a fitness instructor, just group fitness, very briefly, about 10 years ago now. But then I moved into sort of a more corporate environment, ended up going back studying graphic design, and that's what I do now.
Amazing. Do you like it?
I love it, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And do you have your own business? How does that work?
No, actually, I work in-house just for like a big wholesale company that does like electrical goods, which sounds boring, but I enjoy it. I get to be creative every day, and it's a secure job, so it's good.
I love that. That's awesome. So let's talk about fitness and your fitness journey. I always feel like it's corny when I say like, let's talk about your fitness journey, but I also feel like it's the best way to describe it. Just tell me about give let's talk to start about where you were when you started. So you said very recently that you hit your goal weight, but how did you decide that was your goal weight? Where were you when you decided that was your goal weight? Let's talk about that.
It's interesting. So I think in my mind, for some reason, just that weight was always just like a good weight. But also in terms of powerlifting, it would put me in the like weight class below, because there's obviously a big jump from I'm not sure what the classes are in America, but in PLA here, it's 64 kilos is the weight class, and the next one up is 72 kilos. So
Okay.
my goal weight was always to be under 64 kilos. So when and if I did decide to do it, I wouldn't have to like suddenly cut weight to
Makes sense.
do
Makes
that or
total
be
sense.
competing with people who are
So
much heavier than I am.
64 kilos is about 140 pounds. So
Yeah.
you wanted to be able to compete without having to radically cut weight if you decided to do a competition.
Yeah, exactly. And even if I decided not to compete, I just thought in my mind it was good to have as that like point of reference, so I could see, well, what are people in that weight class lifting, and then what should I be aiming to
Makes total sense. Makes total sense. Let me ask you this before we even go into like go further into the goal weight. How'd you get into powerlifting?
I just enjoy that style of training. So years ago, I was working with a PT and we were doing more like bodybuilding type style training. And then we did this 4 week block of which was more powerlifting style of training and working more towards strength. And I just loved it. And I loved that style of training. So that's sort of what I've moved more towards now. And I sort of prioritize those big three lifts. But I don't do powerlifting yet. I just sort of train in that style.
I love that. So you haven't competed, but you use the
No.
power lift. So yeah, you
Yeah,
definitely do power lift. You just haven't competed yet.
exactly.
So I'm gonna keep working backwards here. So
Sure.
you were working with a PT, doing more bodybuilding stuff. How did you end up working with that PT? Like, were you always into strength training? Like, how did that come about?
No, not at all. So I used to work as a fitness instructor, and I was always sort of doing, group fitness, pump classes, step, that sort of thing. And I was always into that sort of fitness, like a lot of body weight workout, a lot of circuits. And that was just, it was always my goal in the past, like when I was much younger, 18, 19, just to be skinny. That's really, I cared about being fit and I cared about being skinny. So that was always sort of the goal. And then I was diagnosed with PCOS in March 2014, following about a 8 kilos weight gain, which I still technically wasn't overweight at that weight. I remember actually when the doctor diagnosed me, it was sort of like out of the blue. I had a cyst burst. I went to a different doctor to get a scan, went back to my normal doctor, and he started running, hormonal tests and more scans. And he goes, "I never would have investigated this because you're not overweight."
Interesting. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So then from there, I sort of started doing these little like project comebacks and started to try and lose weight again and would yo-yo around. And then in 2017, I put on even more weight. And then I really dove back into fitness, but then I started working with a PT to sort of up my game, I guess. And that's when I got much more into weightlifting.
Makes total sense. Makes total sense. When you were saying how you were putting on weight, do you know why you were putting on weight? Did it have anything to do with your nutrition at all?
I think it was a combination. So I think that my expenditure was lowered because of the hormonal imbalances. Mm. So my maintenance was lower than it should have been.
Yep.
And I do think that obviously with things like elevated estrogen, your appetite is higher. So I was probably eating more without realizing. In my mind, I was eating the same, but looking back, I probably was.
That's a really good point though, that I think often goes overlooked, because people make the argument oftentimes that it's either hormones or calories, and it's not that black and white. They both play a role and they both affect each other. And if your estrogen, for example, isn't in balance, then you might be significantly hungrier than you would otherwise, which will then obviously lead you to eat more. So they both play a massive role. And I think you bring up a really interesting point that a lot of people might not be able to see clearly because they're being pulled into these black and white directions, when in reality, there's a lot of gray here.
Definitely. Yeah.
So then you got into strength training, and did you like the bodybuilder style of training? Like, did you like working with that PT?
Yeah, I did. He was great. Unfortunately, he left the gym that I used to go to at the time, which is the only reason we stopped working together.
Got it.
Okay. But he was a fantastic PT, and he really ignited my love for weightlifting.
I love that. That's awesome. And then were you ever worried about like lifting heavy weights? Was that something that you were concerned about or worried about, or was it just you started doing it and you immediately fell in love with it?
Yeah, no, I was never worried about getting bulky or anything like that, I guess, because I'd been in the fitness space before. Mm-hmm. I knew that it wasn't going to happen accidentally. And I had sort of been slowly getting into it. Like, I had a gym membership and I was going to the gym and I was squatting and I was doing, you know, a little bit of everything. I just didn't have a plan and I definitely wasn't lifting heavy. But yeah, I was never worried about, I don't know, getting bulky or.
Got it. Okay, good. It's funny. You know, I mainly work with women. Most of the people in the inner circle are women. There are many men as well, but most of the people I've worked with over the years are women, and everyone has a different story, right? Some women were either brought up with strength training, or they just never had any aversion to it whatsoever. And then other women have really dealt with a lot of resistance to it, whether it's their own individual resistance or societal or a combination of the both. So it's always interesting for me to hear about sort of what your comfort level may have been or worries when you started doing it. In terms of powerlifting, I got to ask, what is your favorite lift?
Deadlifts, most definitely.
Best answer. That is the right answer. Do you prefer sumo or conventional?
Sumo, most definitely.
I love it. Do you think you're going to compete?
I've actually been exploring powerlifting gyms just in the last couple of weeks around my area, because I live up in the hills. There's nothing super close, but there's some that are 30, 40 minutes away. So I'm just sort of trying to work out if that's going to be too far to go regularly, or what the go is going to be. So hopefully I'll find a gym that's not too far that is the right vibe for me.
Do you want a powerlifting gym for the atmosphere, the equipment, like a team to go with, all of the above, something else?
Yeah, sort of all of the above. So for the environment, because I feel like being around other people who are working towards similar goals and, you know, lifting really heavy is going to push me. I'm a really competitive person. So if I see people around me that are lifting really heavy, I'm like, I want to do that too. If they can do it, I can do it. And the other reason is because then they would have novice comps. So I could sort of dip my toes in and ease into it rather than just, you know, registering myself and hoping for the best.
Makes total sense. I laugh at the competitive thing. It's because I I never realized how competitive I was, which might sound weird because I've been competitive my whole life, but I never realized how competitive I was until my best friend, Mike Vacanti, started to call me out on it, and more recently. And I've realized I compete with everything. Like, everything is a competition in my mind, and I don't realize it. And he'll, like, sort of play with me. We'll just be doing, like, daily things. We're writing a book together right now. And he'll do something purposefully, something small, just to see my reaction. And he'll be like, "You're making a competition out of this, are you?" I'm like, "I didn't realize that I was doing it, but yes, I am." So I very much resonate with that. I will say, for whatever it's worth, from my career in powerlifting and everything that I did, if you can find a way to make that feasible to get to a great powerlifting gym, there has never been a better time in my training career than when I was surrounded by other lifters with the same goal. And not only that, but the best time is when we all ran the same program together. And we would all go in the gym. We had a set time. It was a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. We would get in the gym. We'd warm up together. We would lift together. It was one of the best times of my life, just in general, but also training wise. That you just there's nothing like it. And I used to be the person that hated training partners when I was really young, because in my mind I was like, no one trains harder than I train, and I thought anyone who would train with me would just get in my way. Until I found a group of people who pushed me harder than I ever could have imagined. And we just bonded so deeply through those training sessions. If you can make that feasible, I couldn't support that enough. Even if it's only for 3 months, I think those 3 months could change your life.
Awesome. That's really good advice.
And for whatever it's worth, in terms of powerlifting, I love talking about powerlifting. I haven't competed in years. But I think a lot of people get worried about doing a competition. I know you're saying like doing like a novice competition, which I think is a good idea. Competition is a competition, whether it's novice or not. But I mean, I've been to some really advanced competitions, some high level competitions. And first and foremost, everybody is so welcoming and so encouraging. The powerlifting world is so interesting to me. I've never interacted with a powerlifter or a group of powerlifters or been to a competition in which people were mean or rude, or like everybody is cheering everybody on, whether it's your first competition or 20th competition. They're super encouraging. They're helping you out. They're all giving you tips, almost too many people giving you tips. It's so, so nice. So if, even if there doesn't happen to be a novice competition in your area, just sign up. Just sign up, because it's such a wonderful community.
All right, I'm going to do it. You can hold me to it.
I love it. I'm going to hold you to that. So now let's go towards so I know you decided your goal weight based on how you'd feel, but also if you compete, not wanting to cut weight for it. Where was your weight at when you decided to cut to your goal weight? And like how much heavier were you? I can do the conversions from kilograms to pounds. And then and how did you go about doing it?
Sure. I suppose that's a little bit of it's hard to say. So when I joined the Inner Circle, I was about 68 kilos.
Okay.
However, last year, my weight was as high as 74, 76 kilos. So I've lost about 10 kilos in the last year, but my weight has always sort of fluctuated around between the 60 and 75 kilo mark. So when I did a lot of like circuit training and things like that, I was always sort of that like 60 to 64 kilos, which I'm back in that range now. And then around 2014, when I was first diagnosed with PCOS, I was 68 kilos-ish. 2017 was when I was at my heaviest. So I was about 76 kilos then. And between 2017 and now, I have fluctuated 74 kilos to 68 kilos. And I always get to 68 kilos, always wanting to get to 64, but always get to 68 and seem to bounce back up. Constantly, like it was just this yo-yo. I would get to this mark thinking like, yes, I'm so close, I'm almost there, and for whatever reason I would always bounce back up. So that's sort of been a pattern for the last nearly 4 years now.
That makes total sense. I've seen that pattern a lot. So 68 kilos is right about 150 pounds. So you'd get right to about there, and then you'd bounce back up to about 155, 160 pounds or so.
Yeah.
So it was like this 10-pound difference that like you had trouble breaking.
Yeah, exactly. It was, I couldn't lose that last 10 pounds or that last 5 kilos.
So what happened? Like, this is without question, Stephanie, this is one of the most common questions I get, like how to lose the last 10 pounds. How did you do it?
I joined the inner circle. Like, I don't, you're not telling me to say this. I haven't plugged it. In October to December, I did 75 hard. I'm sure most people have heard of that by now.
I get asked my thoughts on that all the time. Every time I do a Q&A, everyone wants to know my thoughts on that. So, okay. So you did 75 hard, which is just a crazy, crazy thing to do.
It's insane. Yep. But I wouldn't recommend it. However, for me, it did help with my self-efficacy. Like, it did help me.
Nice. I like that term, by the way. Well done. I like that.
And it was funny, while I was doing it, I don't think it was a current podcast episode. I think it was an old one. I was listening to your old podcast episodes a lot while I was walking, because I have to do an outdoor workout during it. And you did an episode on willful suffering. And I was like, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm willful suffering. So when I got to the end of 75 hard, I was at that 68 kilo mark again. And I was like, I'm not going to gain this weight again. I had been following you since probably 2017 on YouTube. Wow. Yeah, I've been following you for a long time.
Let's go. I love it. It's one of the reasons I love doing these podcasts. I get to speak with people that I never would have met, but I appreciate that you've been following me for so long, Stephanie. Thank you.
Yeah, you came up as recommended on YouTube. I must have been looking at form tips or something like that, because you used to post a lot of exercise videos.
Yep.
And I have followed you on YouTube for ages, and then obviously eventually jumped over to Instagram and your podcast. And I've probably been listening to the podcast since mid 2019.
Let's go.
a long time. So it took me a long time. But I decided I'm not regaining this weight. I'm getting to my goal weight. I've been listening to the podcast long enough. I know that this works. This is the advice that I've been following. Obviously, what I'm doing on my own isn't getting me where I want to be. So let's just join and do it. And I'm going to have the accountability of the inner circle. I'm going to have the expert advice. I'm going to have all the manuals. Also, one thing that did sort of tip me over, again, it was mentioned in a podcast episode, was the deadlift domination. I was like, I'm going to do that.
I joined all-time and favorite I was like, program.
Yeah. I was like, failure is not an option anymore. So I joined, and I decided I was going to do Unicorn Strong when I first joined, which I'm technically still doing. I've got another week or so left of it.
Oh, nice.
And I hit my goal weight early, so it works.
That's awesome. I mean, first and foremost, congratulations. It wouldn't work if you didn't work, right? And you know that better than anybody. So huge, huge congratulations on the progress that you've had and the hard work that you've put in. It's amazing. What about, like, not necessarily about the program, but what did you change? Like, what were you doing before that changed once you started doing the programs in the inner circle?
I did the consistency calendar, which I'd actually done before. I probably did that at the end of 2019 for a month or two, which it did work for me at that time, but I just didn't stick to doing it. But that's something, when I joined the inner circle, obviously it's what you recommend. So I decided that that's what I was going to do. And I think having that visual of keeping yourself accountable every day is really helpful. At least it is for me. And obviously it is for a lot of people, because that's why you that's why you tell everyone to do it, because it works, because you can see that consistency. And it also, you can see that if you have a day off, or if you have a day where you aren't on track, it's a day. You can see it in the scope of the month, rather than just thinking, oh my gosh, I've messed up, I'm terrible, like I may as well just throw it in, I'm never gonna be able to do this.
100% That
out of all of the things that you could have said, I'm so glad that that is what you think is one of the biggest reasons you've succeeded, because that's we all know it boils down to consistency. Everybody knows that. But I honestly believe the consistency calendar is one of the simplest and most effective ways to see it right in front of you. And I don't know if I've told this story before. Have you ever heard like why I created the consistency calendar?
No, I don't think so.
So when I first created the consistency calendar, I was mainly just doing one-on-one coaching. I was not doing the inner circle yet. But any coach listening to this will know exactly what I'm talking about. But sometimes when you're working with clients, they're going to swear up and down that they're being consistent. They're like, I promise, I swear, I'm doing everything you say. I've been 100% consistent, which is like when someone says they've been 100% consistent, you know off the bat, like they've not been 100% consistent. That's being 100% consistent. That's not the goal. I don't want anyone to be 100% consistent. That's too much. And so I originally made it as a way for me to essentially like show, like I would ask for my clients' consistency and I would mark the calendar myself. And then I would, when they came back in 2 weeks, a month, whatever, why aren't I making progress? I would show them. I'd be like, listen, I kept track of your consistency based on all of your check-ins over the last however long. Like you've been 52% consistent. And this is by your own check-in. This is by what you've told me. So right here, you're saying you've been 100%, but based on if we go back and look through your check-ins, we can see you haven't been consistent. Yeah. And I think people really get in their head. They're not lying. It's not a malicious lie. It's they truly believe that they're being more consistent. And I think that sometimes stems from them going so hard and being so rigid and so strict on maybe 1, 2, 3 days that they forget or almost like are willfully blind to what happens once they stop being so strict and they go completely off track. So I love that the consistency calendar was super helpful. Do you have a physical calendar that you write it on?
No, I have it on my computer, but I do fill it out every day. And I put also what I trained, I put my weight for the day and I either tick it or black circle it.
I love that. That's amazing. And so you track your calories, do you track your macros as well or just calories and protein?
Just calories and protein. I do keep an eye on my fats and carbs just because I have found that I feel better if I'm eating at least 30% fat, 30-35% fat. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's because of my PCOS or just because of how I respond to it, but I just think in terms of satiety, my skin, my mood, I just feel better eating a little bit more fat.
I love that. That's amazing. So you really track calories, protein, and then you just keep a watchful eye over carbs and fats.
Yeah, definitely. I don't police myself on it. If I eat more or less carbs or fat, it's neither here nor there.
I love how you found a balance between being strict enough to stay consistent, but being flexible enough to not be overly meticulous, right? Like this is a very tough balance for people to find. And I think when people ask about how to find balance within nutrition and fitness, this is what they're looking for. They often don't know how to articulate it or what it would even look like. But Steph, I think this is what it looks like. I think what you're saying, it's such a mark of like you've reached such a high level and I don't even know if you understand that you've done it. Maybe you do. I hope you do. But the fact that you're so consistent and so methodical without taking it to an extreme is it's really incredible to see.
Thank you.
So how long did it take you from starting Unicorn Strong Challenge to reaching your goal weight? How many weeks or months was that?
It was about 2 months.
2 months. And do you know what your consistency was like? Like looking at the consistency calendar, was it above 80%, below 80%?
So it was 80% in January. And you're not going to like the next answer. It was 100% in February, which I know you don't like, but it was just the way that it happened. But I think it was because I was sort of finding my stride in it and I felt like I could have the things that I wanted and still be on track.
Mm.
And I think that that's something that I was struggling with in the past. It was like, if I'm going to have pizza, well, I'm going to have pizza, so I may as well eat a whole pizza.
Mm. Just the mentality, yeah.
Yeah, like I've got to make it worth it. I'm having something bad, so I have to make it worth it because I've got to be on track again tomorrow. Whereas I was finding this more with like, okay, I can have pizza and I have one type of pizza. And I think that's one thing as well. I was, you said something about bright lines once, which is, you know, it is making a rule for yourself. But for me, I found it less restrictive because I would say, okay, I can have pizza and I can have as much of this one type of pizza that I want. And I would find that I'd be more satisfied having a couple of slices of one type of pizza rather than having three different types. And I'd have to have like two or three slices from each to feel full. Does that make sense? I know that's strange.
No, that makes total
sense. You get more satisfied from having more of one thing than a little bit of everything.
There's not only does that make so much sense, just logically and common sense, but there's a tremendous amount of research supporting that. It's one of the reasons why caloric intake radically increases at a buffet compared to when you just have one plate in front of you. It's the more options there are, the more calories you're going to eat. So that makes total sense. And Steph, you're like a true, like you really listen to the podcast. Like I because you're bringing up all of these terms that like, I feel like I'm speaking with a very high level coach, just to be very blunt. Like you're bringing up all of these terms just in casual conversation that really lets me know, like you haven't just listened, you've listened and you've really internalized, you know, the difference between like, oh yeah, I listened. No, you listened and you've really internalized it and put it into practice. I mean, for you to talk about bright lines, for you to talk about the consistency calendar, it's remarkable. It's so, so impressive. And it makes total sense about the bright lines in terms of just having as much as you want of one, as opposed to, as a bunch of different ones. It's one of the things I tell people all the time, if they're going to go to a party, maybe it's a Super Bowl party or a sporting event, whatever it is, like pick one dessert that you want and have as much of that dessert, but that's the only dessert. You don't need to have a sampling of 27 different desserts. Just have one and enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. It was actually, I started implementing that quite a while ago. So I remember our work Christmas party, obviously we didn't have one last year because of COVID, the year before. So that's going back quite a while ago now. I did the same thing. It was like a buffet and I told myself I could have two things and I could have as much of those two things as I wanted. And I remember telling someone else that and they thought that I was crazy. and I was like, that's fine. You can think I'm crazy. I'm going to eat as many prawns as I want. and it worked. And I mean, prawns, obviously you can literally have as much as you want because they're so low calorie and so high protein that you're never going to go over having prawns anyway.
100%. 100%. That's exactly right. And just to sort of backtrack here, I'm not against you being 100% in February at all. If you told me that you were 100% consistent for 365 days straight, I would say, okay, Steph, there might be a problem here. I do think there's a tremendous amount of value. This is one of the reasons I really like the calorie cycling challenge, for example. There's a tremendous amount of value for someone who struggles with consistency or even someone who doesn't, but for a 30-day period or even a 7-day period, sometimes I would have clients who really struggled with just getting started do it for 24 hours. I'd be like, no BS, 100% consistency for 24 hours. And sometimes I would work with a client who just, they started working with me, they paid me, like it was all set, they were ready to go, they were motivated to begin, they were ready to change their life, but they fell short and they just couldn't get started. Even though they had gone through the entire introductory process, they were paying a significant amount in order to be coached by me, but it just wasn't working. And one of the things I found was when it's just like, hey, green light, go, but there's no end in sight, it can be very overwhelming for people. And so I was like, you know what? just 24 hours. Can you hit your calories for 24 hours? And they're like, yeah, I can do that. And for the first time in their life, they would hit their calories. They would do it for 24 hours. They'd be like, oh my God, I can do it. So I'd say, hey, let's do this for 72 hours. And then we'd build from there. And so the ultimate goal being where over a 30-day period, they could be 80% consistent. But if I just started them with that for 30 days, then there's no way it would have happened. And so for you to have 1 month of 100% consistency, I have no issue with that whatsoever. Again, like I never look at one weigh-in or even a month of weigh-ins as the end-all be-all. It's just a collection of data. So it would be interesting to see your 2021 data when the year is over. Mm. You have like January, you have February, March, April, May, all of the months, and we can see maybe like 80% in January and then 100% in February and then who knows, like 80% in March, whatever it becomes. It would be very cool to see that data over time. I think that would be super interesting to look at.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's something that I plan to continue to do for the rest of the year and maybe not forever, but indefinitely, because I do think for me it is really helpful having that data and to be able to see, you know, what I ate, what I trained, how I felt, because I have notes that I put on each week on how I performed in the gym and what my mood and my energy and everything was like. So it's been really good to have that to reflect back on.
Is this something – is this just how you are as a person? Like you like to collect data? Like I'm serious, because you say it so nonchalantly, like, yeah, I keep track of how I'm feeling. I keep track of this. Like I have, you seem like the most put together person I'm jealous. I'm like, I want to be like you, Steph. Like I want to have all of this organized and like, I'm so impressed and jealous by how organized you are and how methodical you've been. Is this something you've worked on? Is this just how you are? Like what's going on here? How can I learn from you?
This is something I implemented this year, and it's because I know how my brain works. Like I'm very easily distracted and I'm very easy to forget. Like it would be easy for me to say this week, like, oh, I've been so consistent for the last 3 weeks. And not remember that last Tuesday, I went over my calories, like as an example, like,
yep.
It's, I don't know, the way that my brain works, it's much easier for me to have something physical that I can reflect back on. And then also something that I know that is keeping me to account.
Makes total sense. Did you, ever have issues weighing yourself? Was there ever like an emotional response to the scale? Like how have you been doing with that?
Yeah, most definitely. In the past there was, back last time I did the consistency calendar, so like end of 2019, start of 2020, I was weighing myself every day on your advice. And that actually really helped sort of heal that relationship with the scale, because it becomes mundane. It was just part of my morning routine, and it stopped that emotional response because I was doing it every day. And I guess it wasn't just that I was doing it every day. It can only change so much in a day. So I wasn't happy with the number, it wasn't going to change that much the next day. So my range of emotion to it was changing less. I don't know if that's me. Yeah. I don't know if I'm wording that very well, but because, you know, if I'm not happy with it the day before, am I going to be much happier with it the next day? And then it just, over time, it just became more, it just data. It's just a number and I don't have to be happy or unhappy with it. It's just a number.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I love that. I think a lot of the issues around the scale develop because people step on the scale with the intent to see a massive change. And you just perfectly described, like you logically know there is not going to be a massive change. Like you know that. And because your intent with stepping on the scale became to collect data as opposed to stepping on the scale to see if there's a radical change, that helped you develop a better relationship with it. And you could step on the scale every day without an issue because it became a habit. It became mundane. You knew what to expect and you weren't doing it with the intent to see a radical change. I think a lot of times people struggle with the scale because they're expecting not logically, emotionally, they're expecting something radical, and then they inevitably end up frustrated and upset, and they feel bad about themselves when it's nothing to do with the scale. It's all about their intent when they step on the scale.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that is the other reason that it's better. Well, not necessarily better. For me, it's better to do it every day rather than doing it once a week or once a month, because otherwise I've got no idea what happened for the other 6 days of the week. If my weight spikes up because I had a big dinner on Sunday and I'm weighing myself on Monday morning, I've got no idea that actually I was losing weight all week. And it actually would heighten the emotional response if I was only weighing myself once a week or once a fortnight, because I have no other data. I have no other information.
You're preaching. You are preaching, Steph. Like, I am just nodding. I'm like, yes, you keep going. Because the other issue with that that I think goes so often overlooked is when people only weigh once a week or once every fortnight, whatever it is, what they'll often do is they'll like prep for that weigh-in. So like maybe 72 hours out from that weigh-in, they'll start starving themselves or start like cutting water. They'll start like treating themselves like a weight controlled athlete going into a sport to try and get the lowest possible weight, as opposed to doing what they need to do the entire week or 2 weeks leading up to that, just being healthy and sustainable. And then once they do weigh in, because they've been restricting so much leading up to it, then they eat way more than they should, because they essentially binge because they've been restricting so much. But when it's something you do every day out of habit just to collect the overall data, there's no emotional response eventually. And that's, I'm blown away. I am blown away with everything you've told me, everything you've said. I mean, seriously, Steph, you are incredible. Is there anything that you would like to discuss, anything I didn't ask you, any questions I'm too ignorant to ask, anything that you wanted to discuss? Because I don't want to keep you too long. I know I'm sure you have a busy day, but is there anything else you would like people to leave with or know before we get off?
There is sort of one thing that I'm struggling with a bit at the moment, which is that it's actually not directly fitness related, but for me, it generally relates to fitness related things. And I don't know if that's just because that's a big part of my life or.
Let's talk about it.
I tend to have these automatic negative thoughts. So when, for example, I posted that I hit my goal weight, I said I wasn't going to post this because I saw the goal weight, and then in my mind, my first response was, but it doesn't count. And it's the same thing as like, I'll hit a PR in the gym and I'll be like, oh, but my form could have been better. I can never let myself just enjoy something or celebrate something or appreciate that, no, I did it.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
There's always a but. And I'm very aware that I do this. It's something I've become more aware that I do, but I don't seem to be able to break that habit.
So first and foremost, this is very common. I would even say common and normal are not the same. And I think a lot of people use them interchangeably. They're not. I would say not only is this common, I think this is very normal. This is a normal human emotion, normal human response. I would say the worst way to be with this is to be unconscious of it. So I'm sure there's a large portion of your life in which you did this, but you weren't consciously aware of you doing it. And I would imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, that there was a point in your life in which you realized you keep doing this to yourself. Is that correct? Like you there must have been a point where you realized, why can't I just let myself enjoy an accomplishment or a certain moment? Did that happen at some point?
Yeah, 100%. It's been happening more and more. But there was a time at the gym where I got a PB on the rower, and I got off and I was disappointed because it wasn't what I'd aimed for. And everyone, because I do a group fitness class on Monday nights, and everyone's looking at me like, what is wrong with you? Like, you're insane. That's an amazing time. Like, you get the best in the class and all of this. And I'm just like, oh, but that's not what I aimed for.
So this is, again, this is super, super common. And I've noticed it's more or less common depending on oftentimes the personality type of the individual. And I think it's not a coincidence that you are both a very competitive person and also a person who struggles to appreciate the accomplishments that you've achieved. Because I would imagine that you are not just competitive with other people, you're also clearly highly competitive with yourself, and you set standards for yourself and goals for yourself. And if, even if they are met, your first response is, well, I could do better.
Yeah. I move the goalposts. As soon as I hit a goal, I move the posts.
I very much resonate with that because candidly, I think I'm very similar. I would have goals for whether it was my deadlift or whether it was wrestling or whether it was business related, client related, whatever it is, where I'd have goals, like big, big goals. And then in my mind, it's funny, I would do something where I'd say, when this goal is reached, I'm going to go out and take myself out to dinner and celebrate and just really appreciate it. And then I'd reach the goal and I'd be like, you know what? I'll do that when I hit the next goal. And for whatever reason, it was never good enough. It was never an opportunity where I was like, you know what? I deserve to really sit and enjoy this. But like I said earlier, I think the most important part is being aware of it, which you are now. You're aware of it. And you even said you're being more and more aware of it. And yeah. I think the next best step is to become more present in that moment and allow yourself the opportunity to, at the very least, appreciate what you've done. And that I think you're going to have to force yourself into. I think it's something that initially it's not going to come naturally to you. So, I mean, for example, there were times when I would hit a goal, I'd hit a deadlift goal, for example. And after I'd hit that goal, before I'd say like, hey, I'm going to take myself out to dinner. And I'd be like, never mind. I'll do it for the next one. I'd be like, no. You said for the last 8 months that when you hit this goal, you were going to take yourself out to dinner. And so then I would like, hey, I'm going to do it. And I'd go and I enjoy myself. And it felt good. Sometimes it felt awkward and weird to celebrate myself. But it was something yeah. that I had to work on. And full disclosure, I still struggle with that. I still have to work on that. But you have to be – you're already consciously aware of it. You're becoming more consciously aware of it. Now you have to be you have to treat yourself appropriately, which in these instances, like treating yourself like a friend and congratulating yourself and enjoying it. It doesn't mean just being satisfied with where you are and giving up on all future goals. Like you're more than welcome to keep pushing and striving, but it is very important to be aware of how far you've come and not to overlook it. And if you notice your gut response being disappointment, call yourself on that and say, no, hold on. I'm going to take 10 minutes and just sit here and really appreciate how hard I've worked to get here before I move on to the next thing.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like even when you said like treat yourself like a friend, I would never, if my friend was celebrating something, I'd be like, oh yeah, but it doesn't count.
Ever.
Like I wouldn't have any friends if I did that, but it's exactly what I do to myself. So
imagine if your friend hit a personal best on the rower and they were like super excited about it. And you were like, yeah, but didn't you say you wanted to hit faster than that? Like you wouldn't even say that to someone you didn't like. Like you wouldn't tell exactly. if your worst enemy hit a personal record, you'd probably be like, hey, nice job. Like that was really impressive. Like you wouldn't be like, but you could have hit faster than that, just so you know.
Yeah, definitely not.
But again, like everything in life, it's all easier said than done. And you're probably going to have to push through some discomfort in order to get to a point in which you actually can appreciate and take time to enjoy and celebrate yourself. But it's worth it. And I think just the fact that you're consciously aware of it gives you enough space, like enough white space for you to say, hey, I'm aware of it. Let's take a breather. I hit a personal record. I'm going to smile and be super happy about it. I'm going to like whatever celebration you want, which literally could just be like saying to yourself, hey, that was really good. It might not have been what I wanted, but a personal record is a personal record. I got to give myself credit. That could be it. That could literally be it for that. But at least you've appreciated it and recognized it for yourself.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
You feel good?
I do. Yeah. I feel like I've got some tools now that I can walk away with and sit with myself and allow myself to celebrate my wins.
I believe, what did you say in the email when I asked you to come on the podcast? You said, like, at first you were like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, what do I have to say? Did you say that?
Yeah, I did. I was like, my first response was, but I'm not interesting enough.
Do you feel like what you're are we interesting gonna talk enough about? Now? We've been talking for almost an hour. Like, I feel like you're super interesting.
Yeah, I suppose so. I think sometimes I'm a little bit awkward, but I'm interesting enough, and hopefully someone else is going to be able to take something away from this.
I have to ask, you don't have to if you don't want to. Would you like people to follow you on Instagram or on a social media? And if not, totally fine. But if you do, you're more than welcome to share where they can follow you and message you. Maybe they have questions about PCOS, or maybe they just want to say, like, hey, you are really interesting. Is that something to do or no?
Yeah, for sure. So people can follow me on Instagram. I'm steph.squats.
Steph.squats. Perfect. Yeah. Amazing. You are
nice, easy handle.
Very interesting. Very, very intelligent. Super articulate. Overwhelmingly impressive, to be honest with you. So huge congratulations on all your progress. I don't know if I announced this yet. There's one update of the app coming, I believe, in the next like 3 to 4 days. But the next update after that, there's going to be a consistency calendar in the Inner Circle app. And we're going to have like voice prompts from myself and Susan. So like, if you get like a red X day, then there'll be a voice prompt that will come up. You'll hear our voices. If you have a black circle day, you'll be like, no worries, get back on track. We have a lot of new stuff coming with it. So, and because you said the consistency counter, I was like, oh, Steph might really like this.
Yeah. It'd be good to have it on my phone.
Yeah. Steph, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I think you're going to be very surprised at maybe how many people reach out to you and how interesting you are and how much this was helpful to so many people. So thank you so much.
No, thank you so much, Jay, for having me.
Of course. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
You too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Steph, thank you so much for coming on. And to everyone listening, I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. I appreciate them a lot, especially the written ones. They help a ton. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at the link in the show notes, or just go to www.sfinnercircle.com.